This is Phil Nee, and I hope all of your trails are happy until we talk again later. The news this hour is coming up next. Sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry in Spring Green, a full-service jewelry store featuring a wide variety of styles. And Phoenix Center Bowling Alley in Richland Center, family fun at its best. There's always something, including, of course, bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. Today's morning show follows ABC News. It's 41 degrees at 9 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hurricane Milton has already strengthened into a Category 4 storm. Its maximum sustained winds now 150 miles an hour and headed toward the Tampa Bay area. Landfall expected Wednesday.
It comes after Hurricane Helene made landfall south of Tallahassee just 11 days ago, causing widespread damage into the Appalachian Mountains, killing at least 230 people across six states. Crews are quickly trying to clean up tons of debris from that storm before Milton hits. In western North Carolina, President Biden has ordered another 500 active duty troops to join the nearly 8,000 helping with storm recovery.
ABC's Andrew Dimpert. Israel marking 1 year since the Hamas attacks of October 7th, which left nearly 1,200 Israelis dead. Today, Israeli tanks rumbling into northern Gaza for the third time since the war began, airstrikes hitting a mosque and a school. The Nobel Prize in Medicine has been awarded to two American scientists who discovered microRNA, which could lead to new ways of detecting and treating diseases. This is ABC News. A lot of Amazon shoppers getting those clicking fingers ready for the Prime Day sales event that begins tomorrow. And as we hear from ABC's Michelle Franzen, Amazon is far from the only retailer trying to move the holiday shopping season up and saving as well.
Black Friday deals typically don't start until after Thanksgiving, but retailers are offering holiday deals earlier each year. Amazon, Walmart, Best Buy, and Target rolling out Black Friday prices this week. Joni Dimmer is co-founder of the Crazy Coupon Lady.
We are seeing Black Friday prices in October across probably 80% of the items on your holiday list.
Experts say the October deals could be the best of the season and may not go much lower. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
A British doctor today admitting in court that he tried to kill his mother's long-term partner by poisoning him. Thomas Kwan passed the poison off as a COVID shot, leaving Patrick O'Hara in intensive care for several weeks. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Good morning. This is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. October has arrived. It's Opal Month. I just received many new pieces of opal jewelry. Opals are unique and one of a kind. So stop by and see our colorful collection of opal jewelries and save 20% for the month of October at Pamela's in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
You work hard. Making the right choice for lunch isn't hard. The Phoenix Center opens at 11 Monday through Sunday with all your lunchtime favorites. Burgers, salads, terrific appetizers, specialty sandwiches, wraps, and more. Easy in, easy out. The Phoenix Center is the perfect way to break up the day. Can't get away for lunch? Let the team at the Phoenix Center serve you a great meal tonight, including the world-famous Phoenix Center Pizza. Call ahead at 649-7469 for carryout from the Phoenix Center in Richland Center.
WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765 and learn how to buy a home without needing 20% down.
Today's forecast calls for sunshine and a high of 66, west winds at 5 to 12 miles per hour. Mostly clear and chilly tonight, patchy frost possible, a low of 38. Nice again Tuesday with mostly sunny skies and a high of 70. Tuesday night, clear and cool, a low of 39. Sunshine and mild conditions continue with a high of 72 on Wednesday.
When Senator Tammy Baldwin first went to Washington, the big news story was Y2K. And we were partying like it was 1999. Baldwin has been in D.C. for more than 25 years. And after a quarter century, her values are a lot more Washington than Wisconsin. Baldwin supported providing puberty blockers and sex change surgeries to minor children in Wisconsin. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, even though domestic violence survivors say it would be traumatic to be forced to sleep in the same shelters as men. Tammy Baldwin, 25 years in Washington has changed her, and now she's just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Building a small business takes hard work. Protecting it takes a good neighbor. A reliable resource for any small business owner is another small business owner. At Julie Karen State Farm, we are that resource. With the hands-on knowledge that we've gained from running our own small business, we're here to assist you with the coverage and financial services that best fit your unique needs, now and in the future. We're all business for small business, and that commitment starts by working closely with you to get to know the nuances of what you do. And like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Are you looking for top quality cattle? Head to the Richland Cattle Center this Wednesday morning at 11:30. This week's auction features farmer John Doherty from Dodgeville in his annual fall dispersal. 22 stall barn cows milking well, including two fresh Jerseys and a two-month-old bull calf. Plus, a high-quality run of fresh cows, bred back cows, first calf heifers, and more. For the latest listings, visit stadieauction.com and don't miss the Richland Cattle Center sales at Ithaca every Wednesday morning at 11:30, your go-to source for top-notch cattle.
Welcome to the morning show on WRCO Radio on a Monday. Here he is, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, Mayor Todd Coppernoll from the City of Richland Center.
Morning, Phil. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing today?
Doing real well. Good to have you in here. What a weekend. You and I were talking about that before we went on the air, but could you have packed any more into a weekend?
No. I've never seen as many events in the Richland Center area at the same time, and that's a real tribute to a lot of people who've worked very hard to make that happen. In the same, well, we had homecoming at the Richland Center High School, of course, so there was that parade on Friday, and then the game Friday night, and of course a wine walk downtown Friday night. We had the Canyon of Lights parade. There was an event out at Bunker Hill. There was a UTV event over in Muscadet. There was an event at Vitesnik Power Sports. There was one up at Oakwood. There was Wheels of Time. I know I'm leaving something out, and right there, that's more than I've ever seen in such a tight window here.
It really was, and I think another thing that brought a lot of people out was just the perfect weather conditions.
Boy, no question about it. It's like walking through a postcard outside the last few days, and to have so many options of places to go and spend your time. And Kim and I were out most of the day Saturday in our UTV all through the county, and we saw people everywhere doing everything. Just people out walking, families, groups of friends, whatever, all over in the parks and all around, even just the most remote country roads that we drive down, there were people out doing what we were doing. And I thought, boy, look at this. What a great time to be here. The weather's ideal, and the options to go out and find some fun were just everywhere.
I had to wonder, too, with the big homecoming game. That was one of the more exciting ones I've called in a while, at Richland Center winning 21-20. But I know your uncle, Denny Coppernoll, longtime educator at River Valley. Do you guys do a wager when they play or not?
We don't bet. No, we don't. I'm going to tell a story about that. First of all, the good guys won. Way to go, Richland Center Hornets. You got to love it. Every kid on the team, every parent, every cheerleader, the band, the coaches, the staff, everybody who ever went to that high school loves it when Richland Center wins and loves it a little extra when they beat River Valley, and that's just the truth, and we all know it. So it is kind of funny. When I was in high school, which is a while ago, my Uncle Denny did coach the girls' basketball team at River Valley and the girls' softball team, and they won state in softball a couple of times, yes, which helped him into the Coaches Hall of Fame,
right?
Which I'm proud of, even though he did it for the dark side. So, but I will say this, though. This was funny. When I was about a junior in high school, I used to videotape the girls' basketball games for Coach Wayne Morgenthaler to use for practice. He'd have me record them, and then he'd play them back for the girls and show them, you know, do this, do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And one night, Richland Center was playing Prairie du Chien, and this is all three schools, Center Valley and Prairie, were really, really good at girls basketball at the same time. So Denny came up here. Of course, he knew I'd be there, and he sat down right next to me. Oh, we did. He's my uncle. We just sat there and watched the basketball game and talked and ate popcorn while I filmed the game. And man, did I take it at school for that. We were sitting next to their coach. Were you telling them what we do? Which, of course, I was not.
Inside information.
Yeah, right.
It's a fun rivalry, and it goes both ways. You know, River Valley feels the same way here. You know, if they can get a win here, it goes both ways.
And it's, you know what, a fun thing about that, you know, when you're the kid in high school, that rivalry seems like such a huge thing to you, you know. Bob Harper was in town last week. A lot of my generation will know who that is. Bob was a classmate of mine and was a dynamite wrestler here when Richland Center River Valley Wrestling was really intense, the rivalry. Bob was one of the key contributors here. And I just saw him, and we laughed about that time. And he said, Todd, it ended up, I have so many friends from Spring Green now. And we all just laugh about that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I do too. But, you know, when you're 16, it's real.
Yes, it is. I think some people can relate too. You know, it's kind of like the Ithaca-Weston rivalry or Riverdale-Boscobel. It's kind of that same thing. You get out of school, and you see people marrying across the lines and everything.
Exactly. I remember when I was a kid, Boscobel-Fenimore, they're just 7 miles apart.
Oh, yeah.
And that one was really intense over that way. And they just taunted each other mercilessly.
Yeah, you bet. Good stuff. Well, let's talk about some issues going on in the city. Let's start with a positive here. It looks like the 8th Street project is kind of coming to a close.
Yeah, just wrapping up. They were up paving on Saturday on 8th Street and on Park Street. I did see that there's a little bit more to do down at the intersection there at Church Street. Was not finished yet. I believe they're up today. When I left, it looked like they were preparing, but I didn't have time to stop and talk to them. But I believe that's what I saw. And that should just about wrap it up. And it's a great project. The neighborhood seemed to be pleased with the work and with the people, and everybody I met on the crew from G-Pro was wonderful to work with, and the engineers from MSA were, and then, of course, the people with city utilities, too. I think everybody did their jobs very well, cooperated with one another very well, and did their best to keep the public informed, and that last one is a very big deal. There have been times in the past on various projects where I don't think that was done real well, and you know, as mayor, if it wasn't done well because the people call you and say, what in the world are they doing in front of my house? I didn't get that this year, and I'm grateful for that. So thank you to everyone who worked on the project, and thanks for the patience of everyone who lives in the neighborhood.
Yeah, those residents had a lot of dust, you know, because it's been pretty dry here the last few weeks, too.
That whole thing, the early stages of the project, it rained nonstop.
Right.
Heavy, heavy rain in May and June, and it kept washing out the sand that they'd placed on the road and washing it right down the street and into the grates, the storm sewer grates that are down the street there. And they kept having to clean that up and clean that up. And finally, they put rock down to deal with it. And about the time they did that, it got dry. Well, all that sand they had already placed before, it did. It blew all over the place. And anybody who spent, some of these folks might park their car after work Friday and not move it till Monday morning. And it just looked like they'd been driving through a desert.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did. It'll be nice, really nice now when it's all said and done, especially that first big rain we get and things like that, too.
Yeah, I actually saw that already. Not a heavy rain, but a consistent rain about a week ago. I went outside and watched that water run down those new storm sewer grates rather than running down the street. And we've always had an issue with that runoff coming down both 8th Street and down out of the cemetery into 8th Street, damaging that pavement and causing pooling at the intersection of 8th and Park by the cemetery there. And that will not happen anymore. And that had a lot to do with why we did this project.
You have a new zoning administrator, don't you?
We do. Mr. Matt Williams. Matt, if you're listening, welcome aboard. He's come in with a ton of enthusiasm and a real energy for the role. He's helped a lot of people already, and that's what he's there to do. If you have questions about whether you need a building permit, about what any city ordinance might say when it comes to adding on to your property, for example, what setbacks, you know, how far from the sidewalk, how far from the neighbor's house, any of that, Mr. Matt Williams, Monday through Friday, is available in the city municipal building, and we have not had a full-time zoning representative for the city in many years. I don't even know how long. This predates me by several years. We had a part-time zoning administrator who did his best and really put effort into it, and before that, we had the council had assigned that role to the city clerk treasurer, who at the time was Melinda Jones, who again did her very best with it, took it on with real integrity, but there hasn't been a designated full-time zoning person for Richland Center in many years, and we've got one now, and I'm very glad that's true.
When people come to you with questions, what's the biggest topic right now? What's the biggest question of Mayor Todd?
The biggest question of Mayor Todd, well, it's there's two. The first one, it doesn't pertain to one business. It's businesses. Get me this or can we get that? That will never go away. And I'm with you. I'm the same way. Let's get them and find them and get them here. I get a lot of that. And then the other one is housing, which is actually the bigger problem. One feeds the other. More people will bring more businesses and so forth. And we struggle with that. People call me a lot looking for a place to rent for their kid or for someone that grew up here just trying to move back or move into town because they're getting a job here. But that's still a critical issue, and we are making progress on multiple fronts on that. I'm not going to announce anything today other than to say both apartments and new houses, we're making some nice progress to get some more homes built. We know it's a critical need for the current state of the city, but also as you project the future, people like to say the population's basically the same as it was 50 years ago, which is the truth. And we've got an awful lot of people working in our town that are commuting from somewhere else, and the lack of housing fed that. It's not the only reason, but it's a primary reason. And it just honestly hasn't been adequately addressed in decades. People say to me, but Wedgewood was added. That's true, and thank God it was. Thank you to everyone involved. But you need to remember, Wedgewood was added, but houses were removed when Highway 14 was rerouted. Houses were removed when the dike went in, and so on down the list. So the net gain in houses isn't nearly what some people believe it to be. There has been a gain, but not nearly as many as a lot of people believe that we've added. And then on top of that, just like everywhere else, there's so far fewer children, babies being born. Families just aren't the size they were. So a house that might have had four people in it might have two now. And that's going on everywhere. It's the same struggle everywhere. So what we're doing, we're talking to multiple builders about rentals. We're talking to a great group, headed Mr. Mike Lamont and Ms. Ellen Evans, talking to us consistently about a project they want to do that will put 23 to 25 new houses up above Rainbow Drive, basically the top of the Allison Park area in layman's terms. And they've been wonderful to work with. It's a long process because there's a lot of work to do to prepare the land, make sure the infrastructure, utilities, and the street and so forth get in correctly and all of that. And that involves multiple steps, just a lot of work for utilities, a lot of work. Again, zoning gets involved, and on down the list, the city council will be involved. It's not quick or easy, but I believe that's going to happen. I'm very confident. And the reason I am is because Mr. Lamont and Ms. Evans have been wonderful to work with, and they come down and see us consistently. Ellen was just down last Monday. And then also when we give them instruction, we need you to do this, we need you to do that, we don't get delays and excuses, they do it. And they come back to us with, this is what we did, here's the results. And that's been a refreshing change from some of the experiences we've had. And I would like to acknowledge them publicly and thank them for the way they have worked with us.
How many homes did you say up above Rainbow Drive? Did you say up to 25?
Potentially. It all depends. So that would include two or three on Fern out there.
Okay.
And then the rest would be up above where Rainbow Drive currently sits. They've already purchased the land. They've already been up there clearing brush. They've got an engineering firm working on it. They've had the surveyor out there. They've worked with our utility department heads. They've worked with economic development, now with zoning, with myself, with the city administrator, on down the list. They came to the plan commission, and that's on YouTube. Mike sat there, and primarily Mike, detailed who they are, where they're from, and why they're here, and what their intentions are. And Ellen has been... Man, I've seen her down here probably five times in the last 2 months, and she does not live in town. She's in Dane County, and to have her attention at that level and her energy when she comes in, Mike too, but Ellen's the one that I see most often, and you can see the sincerity, and you can just feel the passion and the energy to complete the project. It's tough to do this stuff. There's so many obstacles, if you will, so much red tape that goes into building, and so much expense, obviously, to get it done before it ever pays you back. You have to have fire and energy to see you through the process, and those two people have that.
Yeah, it seems, on the outside, it seems easy. You know, you just hire a builder and go get it done, but there's a lot of steps before that.
Well, this leads to an interesting point, Phil. So any building project is going to be what we just said. You got to work with zoning. You got to work with a building inspector. Depending on what you're building, if you're going into a commercial structure, if you're going into like multifamily, you might have to get state-approved plans. All of these things, depending on where you're going to build, you might need the DNR. On down the list. Well, think about Rainbow Drive, which is up most of the way up a hill. Well, if you I guess disturb or build higher up into that hillside and put houses up there with a paved street, where's the water going to run off when it rains? Mm-hmm. That part is one of the hardest parts to sort out. You have to have a plan. And a water runoff plant can get very expensive. If you get into storm sewers, that changes everything. And if you don't get into storm sewers, you have to create a plant. This is where the water will go, and this is how we'll get it there, into a basin, retention pond, whatever you choose. This land right here will be left open for water to run through. This is how we'll direct it there. This is where it will end up. You have to do that. If you didn't do that, imagine the houses down the hill. Probably not going to be real big fans of that. Mm-hmm. So it's a critical component. And look at our topography in Richland County. Look at the steep hills. Sooner or later, you have to build at least partially up a hill here, because we just don't and won't get a bunch of flat buildable land just screaming at us to put up houses and commercial structures. It's not going to happen here. And if it did, there's a good chance it would be floodplain anyway. So you have to get creative, and you have to do things they don't have to do in a place like Wanakee or Reedsburg, where they're surrounded by flat fields.
What about Panorama Estates?
Yeah, still talking to them. I'm not going to comment any further till I talk to them later today. Once I've talked to them later today, you better believe I'm going to comment again.
Okay, we'll have that. I know you have office hours later. What are your office hours, by the way, on Mondays?
It's like this. I get in the office at 9 a.m. I stay till I'm done. Sometimes that's 5 p.m. Sometimes that's 9 or 10. I've been there almost till midnight a few times, and I'm also available by appointment in the evenings. You can always get me on the cell phone that the city provides for the mayor, 608-604-5399. You can call me or text me on that one to talk to me or to set an appointment to sit down and meet with me. Always happy to do that.
Coming up, the election. In fact, the next time you're on the morning show, the first Monday in November, will be the day before the major election that is going on. And we want to give a shout out to all of the volunteers that go out there and work hard every election.
Right. It's not easy, and it's something that gets overlooked, but you can't run an election without people. You can't do it. And it's critically important, right? These elections, for obvious reasons, and this one, we have state, federal, all kinds of stuff going on. It's a presidential election. There's a U.S. senator on there, all the state representatives. This is a really big one, right? And you have to do it right. It has to be done right, and people have to believe in it. And you can't get that without good people working that election. And we're so blessed here to have always had and to still have groups of people have shown up through the generations with integrity, with just a passion and a willingness, desire to serve their community, which is the only reason they do it, to be down there and make sure it's done right. And we're lucky again this time that there are several people who will act as volunteers that day and work that election. And they've been down. There's been training going on again right now, getting some new people up to speed and talking about how the system's going to work, to take any possible hiccups out right now. And I want to commend every one of you. I don't have the full list, so everybody who's going to work the election, all of you who are training them, everybody taking this as seriously as you are, thank you so much for your effort.
This will be a big one, that's for sure. And there are a lot of us that will be a little bit happy when it's done. I'm not sure if it's entirely done, but here, as far as the local radio station is concerned, we put a story on about former President Donald Trump, we get heat. If we put a president, a Vice President Kamala Harris story on, we get heat, you know, because it just heated both ways. And as mayor, you don't have to stick your neck out and say which party you're on. Does that make it easier?
It does. In this era right now, I would not run for any office in which I had to declare a party affiliation, because all you have to do is say the word Democrat or Republican and half of the people you know are in your face, which is really disappointing. Honestly, just to both parties, shame on you. Honestly, that's how I see it. Shame on both of them. All of these ads that are so terrible. All over and over and over again, and you walk down the street with someone who's known to be one or the other, and some friend of yours since you're a kid gets in your face because they're the wrong color. Get out of here. That's not how it works. Shame on them both. You know what? This country was founded based on multiple parties, multiple choices. We the people, right? Of the people. And if you can't feel safe running and serving because people are all over you, because somebody went online and ripped you apart or went on television with a whole bunch of money and said whatever they were paid to say, that is not how this should work. I don't like it. There's no way I would declare a party affiliation right now, because I would lose friends as soon as I said the word, no matter what I did in office. So I would not, honestly, I would not run for mayor again. I'm not going to anyway, but I wouldn't have in the first place in this era if I had to say I was one or the other. And that's why, and I think it's shameful, and I blame both parties.
I think the other thing, too, is just the fact that, it's just heated on down the line. I mean, if you're assembly person or if you're whatever, senator or whatever, you know, the top of your ticket, somebody's going to give you a hard time, you know.
You know what? Since we're doing this, so I've met Tammy Baldwin several times, always been good to me. I've met Tony Kurtz more than any other elected official, always been good to me. I've met a lot of other elected officials, Governor Evers, Tommy Thompson, and Mr. Derek Van Orden, and down several more. And honestly, in the room, all of them, regardless of party affiliation, have been good to me. All of them. And have been good to everyone associated with the city. What really disappoints me is that some of them will tell me that they've worked across the aisle behind the scenes with someone else that publicly they're just pounding on. And why? You're there to represent the people, aren't you? Weren't you elected to do what we need you to do and make good choices on our behalf? If the two of you... this Democrat and that Republican, or switch it out, can get your staffs together, can get yourselves together behind the scenes and help something positive happen, shouldn't that be the first thing you're saying? And shouldn't we all say thank you? But instead, we just spend the big money on the campaign and keep pounding away, and the ads get completely negative and nasty, and people don't know what to think or who to trust, and they're voting against somebody more than for somebody now, which I think is dangerous, honestly. And it just disappoints me. If you're an elected official, state or federal, I don't care what party you are, I care what you do. And when you do these things and you can come to me and say, I worked with this person and we helped get this done, why can't you sit where I am right now and say the same thing into a microphone and calm all of this down and let us all know that we are getting help from both sides and that we can have faith in the system and we don't have to just pound away every 15 seconds on television, radio, print, this person's terrible. Don't do that. It doesn't help.
And misinformation, too. You know, we live in a line of, the internet, obviously, and I think that helps spread things like wildfire on both sides.
So. It does, and it's so quick to happen, right? And the problem is the agendas that people, I think, don't realize they're buying into. Because the algorithms, I'll just use Facebook. I used to do that for a living, Phil, and I quit for a reason. I didn't like how easy it was to influence so many people. You don't have to mean to, because the algorithms are programmed. They're there to promote controversy, because controversy sells. I'm not saying they're the same thing. They're not. But it's how professional wrestling works. It's how Jerry Springer works. You can't sit there and say, here's Bob, here's Sue, they're happily married, thanks for tuning in. People turn it off. When you say, hey, this is Bob, and he used to do this, and this is Susie, and she doesn't know he's about to say that, more people watch this stuff. And the algorithms on social media figured that out. If you and I got into an argument on Facebook, and you said I'm no good, and I said you were no good first, our friends would take sides, and they would comment, like, share. Some of them would pound me, some of them would pound you, and that would bring more of them in. And to what? To watch a fight. or participate in one. And sometimes I wonder if people even realize that's what they've done. Have you noticed, friends, if you're using social media, which I do, I'm not condemning it, I'm just explaining. If you use social media, have you noticed how often you see things that tend to agree with your point of view? That's because they know your point of view, because you've told them everything about you. Pictures and comments and things you like and things you don't like and what you do on there is cataloged, okay? They know you better than you think they do. I don't care who you are. And so they're showing you stuff that's going to keep your attention, because that's how they learn even more to make more money, because you're there. So pay attention to the fact that you might be listening to people who are telling you you're right all day, which just reinforces whatever you thought, even if whatever you thought was not accurate. And now you got that in your head, and you might even not realize you've just consumed an agenda, and now you go out in the world worked up. You know, oh no, this or that. Maybe, but did you just listen to something that was there to push an agenda because somebody's getting paid? That happens more than you think, and I would bet it's happened to every single person. I'm not exempt. Every single person that's ever used social media.
Yeah. Mayor Todd Coppernall, our guest on The Morning Show. We'll have more coming up in just a moment after this timeout.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
The Richland Family Prescription Center's primary function is to fill your prescription accurately and to provide added value services to enhance your health. Filling your prescription is only the first step. Understanding your medication and the importance of compliance will greatly benefit your medication outcome. Whether it's a first-time visit or they've seen you before, the Prescription Center's friendly and knowledgeable staff is dedicated to providing you with a quality pharmacy experience, and they have built their reputation by going the extra mile to ensure your satisfaction. The Richland Family Prescription Center, your one-stop source for all of your prescription and healthcare needs. Your complete customer satisfaction is their top priority.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Hi, this is Teresa Clary with Clary Memorial Funeral Home. With today's rising inflation, now is the perfect time to pre-plan and pre-fund your funeral with coverage from Pekin Insurance through Clary Memorial Funeral Home. Your pre-funded policy, called Pathway, is guaranteed and can be used anywhere in the United States. Call today and protect against future inflation with a Pathway policy from Pekin Insurance. Contact Josh Clary at Clary Memorial Funeral Home for more information.
At Wiffles Hybrids, we like to speak in metaphors. For example, when it's seed decision time and you're at that fork in the road and time is money, you might want to choose a partner that's a little more underdog, a little more David than Goliath, because you deserve a family-owned company that marches to the beat of their own drum, whose product lineup and customer service is the whole enchilada, the whole ball of wax, the whole kit and caboodle. Wiffles Hybrids. Plant your independence.
Silage harvest season is officially underway, but are you missing a step? It's not too late to add Silosolve FC to your harvest plan. Using a silage inoculant like Silosolve FC can help preserve your investment in one of your most valuable assets, high-quality feed. Plus, for a limited time, when you buy four cases, you get one free. Not using anything to preserve feed quality could be a costly decision. Ask your local silage inoculant dealer about Silosolve FC today.
Always good to visit with Mayor Todd Coppernall, our monthly visit on The Morning Show. We have lots of things to talk about this week, with special events going on this weekend and more homecomings in the area. And Mayor Todd, down the road, Pumpkin Fest.
Right, and I believe you told me, I think you have some representatives from the Pumpkin Fest coming on the show in a few days.
We do.
On Wednesday. Okay, so I'll leave that to them to really share the details. I just want people to know this is another really fun activity that takes place in our community now. Its first year was last year, and a lot of people, again, working very hard. They work on this pretty much year-round now, most of that anyway, just to plan and to try to inform, get people involved, and to come up with new ways to make it fun and add to it. Get into it, guys. This is a good time. Pumpkin Fest in Richland Center. Seriously, I'll let them really give you the details, but what you're going to hear when they're here is a lot of energy. Again, this is just something people thought would be fun, and they said, let's try it, and so here it is. And it's here in your community, Richland Center, Richland County. It's right here for you to do.
Well, and that used to be, well, you know, Color Fest. When that was over, that was kind of the last big event. So this gives us something else to look forward to.
Well, yeah. So now you're at basically at Halloween. You're through October, and you're looking through. Here come the holidays and everything. And what do we get? We get Rotary Lights, which wasn't here when we were kids, Phil. And it's terrific. It's one of the better Rotary Lights in this part of the state. Stands out. We get people from all over coming here now for that. And that's something that just, again, local people said, I think we should. I think we can. And they did. And don't take it for granted, guys. And don't you dare tell me there's nothing to do here, because Phil and I are running out of breath telling you everything that there is to do here.
That's right. And we have the county fair, which was successful again this year, too.
It was. People having a good time again. And I helped work the gate out there on Saturday night. There were county board members with me, just various people volunteered. And you noticed people just having fun. They're coming through the gate with anticipation, happy to be there. Some were there for the concert. Some were there. Little kids want to ride the rides that'll never go away. There were elderly couples telling me they met at the fair years and years ago, and how much fun it was to be back out there. So all ages, right? And boys, girls, men, women, families, single people, whatever, just out for a good time. Whatever it was that appealed to them, the food, the rides, the exhibits, the concert, or whatever event. And everybody had a good time. And again, a project that takes a lot of work, dedicated people who don't let up and don't back off getting it done. And this time, a lot of county employees and county board members in particular, and committee members, deserve a lot of credit for what goes on out there. It's not easy, and it won't happen without people. You can't do it. So thanks again. Thanks for bringing that one up, Phil. Thanks again to everyone who was involved in the county fair.
For the county board, it hasn't been a real quiet last month or so, has it?
No, it has not. And I'm going to give not really advice, but a mention to my friend Dave Turk, who I've known since high school, who is the county board chair this year and is in his, I think, first year in that role. He's been on the county board many years, and he'd served as vice chair in the past. This is his first lap of the track as the county board chair, and you see some of the stuff that has happened. And when you are in that seat, much like the mayor position, when you are the one in that seat, you will be judged. You will be graded fairly and unfairly. People will come after you no matter what you say or where you say it. It doesn't have to be your fault. So, Dave, do your best and just do the right thing. And that's who you are, Dave Turk. And I know it, and a lot of other people know it. You're there to make good decisions, to stay level-headed, and to do the right thing, do the best thing. And it's all you can, Dave. It's all you can do when you're riding the waves and you say, how'd this happen and why me? Well, you're there, and I'm glad you are, Dave Turk. I'm glad you're there. You're a good man, and you can do this. And I'm going to tell you, if you think I could give it to you, call me and ask for advice. If you think he could give it to you, call Marty Brewer, who went through plenty as your predecessor. You can do this, and I'm glad that you are. Thank you for serving, Dave Turk.
Sounds good. And certainly the county issues do kind of overlap into the city a little bit, especially with the buildings and those recent announcements.
Well, they do. So a lot of county properties, as we know, are in the city. The courthouse and the jail and the Health and Human Services building and the entire campus property, just to name a few. They all exist within the city. So it gets interesting. If there were ever proposed changes, and we see what something has to happen with the campus, because it's not a campus now, sadly, but it's not going to be what it used to be. The state has made that very clear, haven't they? Well, now what? So if now what involves significant change, it doesn't have to be even that significant. If they want to change structures, put different things out there. Now you're dealing, because it's in the city, you're dealing with city zoning, the city plan commission, city council, and so forth. And so this is a great, this will be a great exercise. Let's see the county board and the city council and the, you know, myself and the two administrators and so forth, figure this out and work together. We certainly can. A lot of good people in both places who are just doing this, trying to help. I hope people remember that. Just doing their best, trying to help the community. Well, here we are. Nobody wanted that campus to go away. Nobody did, but it went. And now what? And those buildings are there, and the county does own them. And the worst thing that could happen is if they just sat there, that's not going to work. So a solution needs to be found in a county property within the city. Well, I think that scares some people. I think that frustrates some others. But I see it as a true opportunity. Let's get together and grow the place. Look, the door's wide open. We don't like how we got here. And I didn't say this is going to be easy. It won't be. But it is a tremendous opportunity. And the city and the county will both have a role to play.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like for upkeep, certainly a lot of them will start with that too, where a lot of money has to be put into the buildings if it's going to be reused.
It was a fascinating meeting when the architectural firm told the county board, as they were telling the public, what they found in the condition of those buildings and their recommendations. Basically, to fix this building, it costs this much money. If you were to build this building from scratch, it costs that much money. And I don't think there's any doubt the numbers scared everybody. They're like, wow, because building costs have gone crazy. That's true.
Yes.
In about the last, oh, I don't know, 5 or 6 years now. Really, really jumped. And when you hear it like that, I believe the way Mr. Turk explained it, he said deferred maintenance simply means you pay more for it later. Well, that's a fact, right? Imagine if you owned a building and you see water trying to get in. Well, it costs money to do something to prevent that water from getting in, but it costs a lot more to fix what happened after the water did get in. That's just a layman's example. But, you know, when things are put, you know, kicked down the road because of budgetary concerns, which in small communities, that happens too often. There's a reason for that. But when you're a small county or a small city, or imagine being a county with only one small city, the funding to take care of these things, it's tough. It's tough. And the county here has had their hands full trying to balance their budget and sort some of this out. Well, when you're doing that, sometimes you know you really should fix that roof or replace those windows, or maybe those doors should go now. It could be any of that, IT infrastructure, any of it. And you know it, so you do as much as you can, but there's only so much money. So something you really wanted to do couldn't happen this year. Well, eventually someday comes. And what those folks were really telling the county board is someday's here, because number one, these things are expensive, and number two, your campus left. What are you going to do? I don't know. I don't know that they do. Their campus reconfiguration committee continues to work on this. It'll get done. It's not going to come easy, and I'm quite certain whatever the outcome is, there will be people who like it and people who don't, and that's just the way it works.
How often are you getting requests, info about businesses moving into the area?
Consistently. Yeah, there's no doubt. There are multiple businesses with an interest in Richland Center, and I can't. The problem is, most of the time, I can't name them publicly. I can't get into a lot of details with the public, which I would love to do. But the reason is, a lot of them ask us not to do that while they do their homework. Know this, just picture this for yourselves. If it's a giant corporation or if it's a local family, it doesn't matter. If they wanted to bring or open a new business in Richland Center, what do you need? You need a location, right? You need a building to do business in. Now, understand, corporations want, they work off traffic counts very heavily. So Highway 14 East is the highest traffic count we have. Coming down into the downtown, Main Street is actually a state highway, and I think a lot of people forget that. Now, I haven't seen a new count. The most recent one I saw is a few years old. But just a few years ago, Main Street got more traffic per day than Orange Street, which is Highway 14. And people don't believe, what? It can't be. Highway 14 is so busy. Yes. Highway 14 basically from, think of it this way, about half of our local traffic on our highways is local. People going to work and home, people running to the store, people who live in the area. using those highways, the other half of people on their way through. Okay, so if about half of your traffic is local, we know people are coming to and from home. Highway 80 is Main Street. It cuts right through the middle of town and leads to a lot of neighborhoods. Even Sextonville Road, Church Street, which was a highway, hasn't been for a long time now. But still, if you're coming in from Walmart, from Rockwell, from any business down that direction, a lot of people take a right turn and head down Sextonville Road, Church Street, because it goes to a lot of neighborhoods. It's a way home. Orange Street ends at the park. It is not a natural connection to most people's homes. It is not. So they choose a different way, unless they're going to a local business down there or they're on their way through, you know, from someplace toward La Crosse or whatever. It gets good traffic. It doesn't get as much traffic as the others because it's not a natural way home for most people. And that gets overlooked, and it can't be overlooked when you're trying to attract businesses. So what needs to happen? The structures. That's what they're looking for. One, buildable land. Two, where can I lease? And three, what's here that's empty that's on a highway? Okay, so now you get into, you know, can I get a lease done with someone who might own a big open space on a highway? Can I get a purchase agreement with someone that owns a lot on a highway? Or is there, you know, is there a building we can get to? That's the hardest part, guys. That's the hardest part. We've reached a point convincing several businesses that they should take a hard look at Richland Center. We're there. Now, how do we get them here? Because if they come to us and say, we'll build if, the if is never little. And we've got to think about property taxes as much as anything else. What would you do if we handed, if the city council voted, and just fill in the blanks with who it is. It doesn't matter who it is, a landowner, a business owner, anybody. I'll build a store if the city gives me $500,000, hypothetically. Okay, whose $500,000 is it? Because I don't keep $100,000 bills on the windowsill in the mayor's office. That's real money coming from real people, and those people live here, and they're listening to me right now. And I don't hear them saying, please capsize my property taxes to get a store here. I've never had anyone come down and plead with me or yell at me to do that. And a lot of these proposals, that's what would have happened, or could have happened, I'll say it that way. That doesn't mean these things won't get done. It means that the focus, this city, this county must focus on growth. There's no way out of it. And to get that growth, you got to get buildings, because buildings generate taxes. Taxes pay the bills. That's the way state laws work, period. The county has a 0.5% sales tax, which the city is forbidden from having itself, which means every time somebody comes through town, spends a night here, whatever, they're contributing to the local economy. Okay, if we get a business they don't have in Spring Green or Muscadet or Lone Rock or Plain or on down the list, they come here. Don't believe me? Stand with me in the entrance to Walmart for 1 hour. Okay, and when they come here, that 0.5% sales tax is contributing to the county budget. So the structures it takes to house businesses, that's where some focus needs to be.
I think the perception, though, Mayor Todd, with other communities through the years is that they have rolled out the red carpet, so to speak, for business and industries better than we have in the immediate area, in Richland County or Richland Center.
Well, I'm not responsible for the city's past, am I?
Nope.
Neither is the current city council. Neither is the economic development director. Neither is the administrator. I'll tell you this. Before 2020, there wasn't an economic development director. I don't know the last time they had one. We'd reached a point where the city didn't even have a chamber of commerce. And the relationship in this area between the city and the county had gotten very contentious and unproductive. And a lot of steps have been taken to correct that. And we got the dialysis center, which gave a new home to a pharmacy. Dollar Tree could have left town. Instead, they built a new building. We got the building that Mr. Ryan Jones funded himself. Thank you, sir. That put in Duncan and AT&T and TriStar. There you go. New businesses coming to town. New structure. We got the TechCom building downtown. The Grangers donated the last residential lots in the Wedgewood neighborhood to the city. Gave them to us. Can you believe that? They did. We sold them. We got one house and two duplexes, five new homes down there on lots that had been buildable for decades and hadn't been touched. There's been a good bit of work on economic development in this community. You saw the expansion at the Richland Locker and so forth. Okay, the issue is there was a big hole to dig out of. Big. And we're doing it. You see a lot of businesses that weren't here doing well. Go talk to the guys at Richland Family Restaurant. That was a shuttered country kitchen for a long time. It's booming now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so don't tell me nothing's happened. I'll take you for a ride. This will take us 10 minutes. The problem is we need a lot more. We need a lot more. We know. We need more homes, and those people, the population growth, helps bring more businesses. The issue, friends, I mean it now, the issue is going to be where the structures are to put the new businesses, what land is available, what buildings do we have now, and what can we get? Because they can't come here if there's no place to go, okay? Or if they can't get a lease that they're willing to sign because the building owner just doesn't want to do it, whatever it is. So that's the way forward. That construction, I've said it on the air so many times, I can't count them. Net new construction. Look it up. Google it, I dare you. Net new construction. It's right in state law. You want more money for the city and the county to have to spend to make the place better? It comes through property taxes, and that comes through new structures, new construction, net new construction over what you had before. So when we get a new house, that helps. When we get a new commercial building, that helps. Did you know? Why? One reason, apart from safety and thinking about your neighbors a little bit, one reason you need a building permit, for instance, to put a deck on your house is because you just increased the value of your house. That state law, net new construction, that's how they know you did that, so that the county and city get the benefit that all of the taxpayers here need to get. If that stuff is hidden, if that stuff goes unknown, then you just dig a deeper hole, and then you have to cut more services or lay people off that work for the city or the county, and then everybody gets mad about that. That's how the system works. That's not the city's rule. That's not the county's rule. That is state law, net new construction, new homes, new commercial structures. We need them. We're after them. We'll get them. It takes buildable land. Never forget where you live. You live in a beautiful place surrounded by wooded hillsides, and those wooded hillsides make it tough to build. You live in a really cool place with a river that people catch trout in, that they love, people kayak in, and it's beautiful and a wonderful resource, and that river creates floodplain you can't build on. So when you get buildable land, when you get an opportunity, your city, your county, they need to take the steps they can take to make that possible, to make that buildable, or the growth we've got to have to get more money by state law will not come here.
Anything new on the hotel? I know there was a talk about that earlier this year, about a possible hotel project.
You know, there's a chain. There's a hotel chain with a great deal of interest in the city. It's a long process there, too. It's basically the way they structure their agreement. It comes down to investors, and that's where we are. I'm not going to say much more than that. It just isn't what I should be doing on the air. But there is a chain with a lot of interest and a lot of works going into getting it done. Don't know yet. Can't say anything yet, or I would. But I will. There you go. There's another example, Phil. We're past the point of getting their attention. Now it's find the right, connect the dots to get it done.
You talked earlier about the population of Richland Center, you know, staying the same since we were kids, pretty much. But, you know, if you look at the positive side, Mayor Todd, it's not dropped any either, right?
Yeah, and unfortunately, people get lost in that, too. That's actually a big deal for a rural community an hour from a city. It's harder than it sounds. Think about where the world went. They put an interstate in, and it didn't come here. That's a terrible loss economically for this area. Terrible. Economically for this area. Don't believe me? How many people were in 1970, Wanakee had about just over 2,000 people. They're going to hit 20,000 pretty soon. Look at Baraboo, look at Reedsburg, close to the interstate anyway, the Dells and on up, Tomah, Sparta, that whole area. Holman, one of the fastest growing cities in the whole country, north of La Crosse, because La Crosse sprang up toward. Look what La Crosse did. La Crosse was what it was. Onalaska exploded because why? It's right by the interstate. And as La Crosse expanded to the north, there was Holman. Watch this. Trempealeau, tiny little Trempealeau, getting ready for economic expansion because they're the next in line. But it all fed off the interstate coming close to a city, and the whole thing fed. We're not close to a city. We're an hour away from several of them. We're not close to the interstate. So before you start adding, keeping is tough. Because kids want to live in a city. I left here when I was 19. I happened to come back when I was 48. So I get it, man. I did. A lot of us did.
Sounds like a country song.
Yeah, it does. But it's but Phil, the point of that is, one feeds the other. If you want more young people either to stay here or to come here, there need to be more opportunities here. And to get more opportunities here, you got to have things that will attract young people. This all goes into the same answer. You got to have more stuff. You got to. It's not just about building. And we talked about all the activities there are to do here, which are great and awesome and growing all the time. But financially, it is about building. And the state law fed us that in very clear terms. That's what we've got to do here, and that's with a ton of work has gone into this. We've had some successes. I believe there will be more, and I wish I could. We'd take 3 weeks to tell everybody every step we've taken behind the scenes to try to get ready. It's hard, but the opportunities are real. That's no joke. The opportunities are real. It's just getting those last variables figured out.
Perhaps you'll have more coming up when you come back in November.
That is my intention. We'll see how it goes.
Awesome. Thank you. Always appreciate you coming in and your transparency. We appreciate having you on the air there.
Phil, thanks so much. And to everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. I do not take the position lightly. I'm grateful for the position the voters have put me in. Hang in there. The political ads only have a little over a month to interrupt your life every 30 seconds. You can do this, guys. Thank you, Phil.
All right. Mayor Todd Coppernell joining us on today's morning show.
Cardinal Rotar is hiring experienced machine operators who want a better work-life balance. They offer a 3-day work week with no weekends, giving you more free time and flexibility. If you're tired of the typical 5-day schedule, this is your chance. Call 608-588-9880 or stop by their location at 1277 East Hoxie Street in Spring Green to fill out an application in person. Cardinal Rotar is excited to welcome you to their team. Call 608-588-9880 today.
WCCU strives to protect you and asks that you share this information with parents, grandparents, and others. Locally, we've seen a rise in illegal spoofing techniques. A fraudster uses caller ID to make a call look legitimate. If you answer a call and it is not who you expect, hang up. Do not rely on your caller ID. Also, never assume that an unexpected call is legitimate. If you receive a call asking personal questions or wanting to engage in conversation, hang up and call back using a reliable number on a bill, statement, or by using a local directory. As fraudsters continue to use these malicious, sneaky techniques, WCCU Credit Union encourages each of us to be vigilant and help spread the awareness to others.
Helping you feel a better life, WCCU Credit Union.
Attention auto mechanics! TC Auto Works in Richland Center is continuing to grow and they need you. They are hiring an automotive technician with 3 years of experience preferred and a strong work history. Enjoy highly competitive pay and a full service automotive repair facility with a fun, low stress, family owned atmosphere. Along with competitive pay, you will be eligible for a large package of benefits including retirement plans, paid vacation, much, much more. Call 383-1700 or pick up an application at TC Autoworks, 1201 Highway 14 East, Richland Center.
This Friday night, don't miss an incredible evening of live music at the Richland Center City Auditorium. The doors open at 6 p.m. The show kicks off at 7. Headlining the night are the Jimmies, an award-winning blues band that's been bringing people together from coast to coast, Europe, Canada, and even the Caribbean since 2010. Opening for the Jimmies is the talented Annie and the Crush, promising an electrifying start to the night. Tickets are just $20 for general seating, so grab yours today before they're gone. The Richland County Performing Arts Council is thrilled to present the Fall Blues Show in this iconic venue. Get ready for a night of unforgettable music, only at the Richland Center City Auditorium this Friday night.
Hi, I'm Joan Balwig. As a mom, grandma, and small business owner, I understand how rising costs are affecting Wisconsin families, whether it's groceries, school supplies, or health care. That's why I fought in Madison to put more money in your pocket and support programs that address rising costs. I voted to cut taxes for the middle class. I fought to provide more health care coverage for postpartum mothers. I worked to address rising child care costs by expanding available tax credits and by creating new child care slots. And I fought to improve access to mental health care and suicide prevention. Because by working together and bringing everyone to the table, we can put more money in your pockets and support programs that reduce costs, improve outcomes, and make life more affordable again. I'm Joan Balwig. I'm a bipartisan consensus builder. I'm running for state senate, and I'd be honored to earn your vote this November. Paid for by the committee to elect Joan Balwig.
Cardinal Rotar is hiring experienced machine operators who want a better work-life balance. They offer a three-day work week with no weekends, giving you more free time and flexibility. If you're tired of the typical five-day schedule, this is your chance. Call 608-588-9880 or stop by their location at 1277 East Hoxie Street in Spring Green to fill out an application in person. Cardinal Rotar is excited to welcome you to their team. Call 608-588-9880 today.
Looking for an exciting career opportunity with a world leader in coated glass for residential windows and doors? Look no further than Cardinal CG. They're hiring for all shifts, including production positions with the potential to